Governor Dennis Dugard joins us on the line. How are you this morning, Governor?
Well, I'm pretty good. I was fighting a cold last weekend and earlier this week, but I think I'm pretty much over that.
Glad to hear you're on the mend. That's been a lot of junk going around this winter, yeah. As there always is, it seems like. Well, it's great to have a chance to visit with you again. The legislative session, of course, well underway at this point, and you've already signed a number of bills.
Yes. They've been... the legislative session just reached crossover day, they call it, last Tuesday. That's the day at which every Senate bill must get out of the Senate or be killed and over to the House. And likewise, every House bill has to meet its fate up or down on the House side and make its way to the Senate. So they call it crossover because it crosses from one house of the legislature to the other. And that is a good... a catharsis for issues that people were uncertain about or waiting on, couldn't decide. It really forces the proponents and opponents to come together and make their cases. So there's a lot of legislation that has died along the way, but the issues of substance are still in play, and on both sides now have moved over to the other house.
Yeah, and a lot of work to be done, obviously, as you well know. The budget primarily taking up, I would say, a good amount of lawmakers' time, and I would imagine we'll hear a lot more about that as we move forward. There, of the bills that have hit your desk so far, what are some of the most meaningful ones that you've so far signed?
Well, there aren't a lot of major issues that have come through. There were, as I've been trying to look at a repealer of laws, even as we're passing a lot of laws every year and promulgating a lot of regulation every year, I've been trying to urge the agencies in the executive branch and the legislature, to the extent that they're willing and have the time, to look for laws that we can get off the books, because if we do nothing but add, pretty soon it just becomes unwieldy, and we certainly see that in other government bodies. So we've had quite a few repealers that have been successfully signed into law, and I think within the next few days we'll have a lot more. We introduce almost 20 bills between the agencies and a couple of legislative initiatives to repeal law and regulation. I feel good about that, and I think that's something we have to, it's not glamorous, but it's something we have to continue to work at.
No, it's a great point. It may not be glamorous, but the effect on business, as you know, is very real when they have to deal with all of that regulation.
Right. Some other things that we've done that I think are also, again, not very glamorous, but important. Over the years, there's been all kinds of laws passed to personalize license plates on your cars. And you would think that you'd have one such law and that would incorporate a lot of opportunity for different groups to personalize. But what had happened over the years is everybody passed a separate law. So I got the Department of Revenue to look at that and consolidate all those laws into one simpler law. And all those groups, you know, whether they be a veterans group or a first responder group or whatever, they can all be under one more simple piece of legislation. So that's another kind of example of laws that have passed already, because I think everyone agrees with it and they don't end up getting a lot of debate and opposition.
13 minutes past 8, South Dakota Governor Dennis Dugard joins us on the line this morning. And I know you've always been fairly cautious about commenting too much on things that are currently underway in the legislature, but I did want to ask you about a few things. Common Core, for instance, has gotten a lot of debate. You've been a supporter of the Common Core standards, and how do you feel about the debate that took place in the legislature? And it looks like attempts to really try to limit some of this or to repeal it get South Dakota out of Common Core have failed.
Yeah, I think it's important for everyone to remember the Common Core standards were adopted in 2010, so over 3 years ago, and they were the result of initiative by the National Governors Association and the Chief Education Officers in South Dakota. That would be our Secretary of Education, whatever they call that person in each state. And the object was to have clear and rigorous standards in math and language arts. They were not written or required by the federal government, and there was no funding that we received that was contingent on us adopting them. That's a lot of misinformation that's been circulating around the internet that causes folks to have that impression. But what we really want students to learn English and math and be able to think independently and solve problems. Now, it's not surprising that many fear these things. They think it represents federal intrusion in education, that there's some that fear there's a threat to student privacy because of data that's collected on student scores and tests and that sort of thing. They worry about the loss of local control, because we really feel strongly in South Dakota that government is best when it's most local, and we want our school boards and our school administrators and our teachers to have control of our local education. The parents can exert their influence through those elections of school board members and so on. And I share those concerns, but I think it's important to protect students without sacrificing the goals of rigorous and competitive standards. And I think that was essentially the debate. Can we protect student data? Can we protect student privacy? Can we maintain rigorous standards and yet also have local control? People believe that the Common Core somehow is a curriculum, and it's important to understand the language that people use in education. Standards are what a student is supposed to learn at a certain point in their education life. So a third grader might be expected to have a vocabulary of so many words, for example. That would be a standard. How you get there, that's curriculum. What books you use, whether you use the internet or not, whether the teacher develops his or her own materials, doesn't matter. The curriculum is in control of the local government. The school boards decide that, and the administrators and teachers. Common Core does not establish curriculum. Which books you use, whether you read this Shakespeare piece or that fiction piece, you know, whether you use drills and worksheets or workbooks or not, that's all local control and still local control.
South Dakota Governor Dennis Dugard is our guest. It's 8:17, clearance 7 below, feels like 18 below. Since you mentioned the issue of local control, let me ask you this, because I've made much of this over the course of the last couple of weeks. There have been a number of bills that are passing in the legislature that one could make an argument are local control. The texting ban would be one. Red light cameras, the Pledge of Allegiance is another. Some of these actually were offered in responses to issues that already resolved themselves at the local level. What's your feeling on that? Some of these items is the legislature taking too broad a swipe here at issues that should be left to local control?
Well, South Dakota is what's called a home rule state, and that means some local governments, cities, for example, can assume powers unless the legislature forbids them from having them. In other situations where a city has not adopted, or where I should say when the voters, because it's voters that make this decision, not governments, if the voters in a local government choose to have local control, what they're saying is we want our local government to exercise every power that the state doesn't forbid us from exercising. And so they're giving their local governments, and Sioux Falls is an example where that has occurred, where they give their cities every power that the state does not forbid a city from exercising. In other cities in South Dakota who have not exercised, where the voters have not chosen local control, it's just the reverse. Cities can exercise powers only if the state specifically gives them the power. Otherwise, the state in the in the states across the nation, the states remain the main instrument of government through through which citizens exercise power. And in some cases where you have different localities exercising different restrictions or rules, it might be problematic. And, for example, I know I was just talking to someone who was in California and was pulled over for speaking on their cell phone while they were driving. And in South Dakota, the bills that have been floating in the legislature and that have been enacted in local governments don't forbid people from talking on the phone. They forbid people from texting, as I understand them, and I'm not familiar with every local ordinance. But this person was pulled over for talking on their phone, and he said, well, I didn't know that was against the law here. And so when you have cities that enact different laws where it may be illegal to use a cell phone or it may not be in this city or that city, it's a little harder for citizens to understand what the rules are and comply. So I can see in some instances uniformity is helpful to the citizens. And I think that is one of the discussions that are that is one of the points being raised in the debate over texting. If it's going to be disallowed, maybe it should be disallowed on a uniform basis so people don't wonder, gee, what's the rule in this city versus that city?
It's 8:21. South Dakota Governor Dennis Dugard is on the line with us. And just before we let you loose, Governor, I have to ask about Medicaid because and Medicaid expansion. I know that's one of the issues that will be a big one for the legislature this year. What are you hoping will come out of the session?
Well, I have visited with leaders of both sides of the political aisle about this. And, of course, some want a complete expansion of Medicaid, and that is everyone whose incomes are 138% of the poverty level or below. And that would be about 48,000 South Dakotans added to Medicaid. Right now, about 116,000 South Dakotans are on Medicaid in any given month. Some go on, some go off every month. But about 116,000 or thereabouts are on. We would add another 48,000 to that number. Of those, 22,000 are above 100%, but still below 138%. That group, of the 22,000 of the 48,000, right now qualifies for subsidized coverage on the Federal Health Insurance Exchange. You know, the exchange that rolled out in November not very well, had a lot of problems. You know, they're working on that. The federal government is working on that to improve it, and I think some of the bugs have been worked out, and they still have some more to work out. But if I'm an adult between 100 and 138%, I can go on the exchange today and buy subsidized coverage, and I might pay as little as 2% of my income, and the government pays the rest. So there's much made of the fact that people below 138% need insurance, or people talk about the working poor should have access to insurance. Well, I believe they do in most cases if you're above 100% of the poverty level. Now, there are some that are below 100%, and the question is, can they get above 100%? In my estimation, if you look at a single adult, and many of these people are single adults, they're not disabled because by definition we cover disabled. No matter what their income level is, we cover disabled. Then if you're below 100% and not disabled and you're a single adult, all you have to do is work 30 hours at the minimum wage and you can be above the 100% of the poverty level and then get subsidized coverage. So there is access in a couple of different ways right now. So because of that, I believe we should focus on those groups that are below 100% of the poverty level and who cannot raise themselves up. An example would be a woman, let's say, who has a single mom. She's raising two or three kids at home who are dependent on her. It would be very hard for her to get above 100% of the poverty level, maybe, if she doesn't have skills, doesn't have a degree, let's say. in that situation, I think there is where I would like to work with the federal government to see if the expansion would permit a more targeted expansion to people like that. So I believe in South Dakota, we want to help people who can't help themselves, but we want those who can help themselves to do so. And that's kind of the way I've been approaching it. I've written a letter to Kathleen Sebelius, the head of the Health and Human Services at the federal level, asking her to consider a waiver that would allow South Dakota to enact a targeted expansion like this. I have not yet heard back from her, but we'll see. That's the road down which I would go, and which I think a majority of the legislature would go, both Republicans and Democrats, because it's targeted to those who can't help themselves.
South Dakota Governor Dennis Dugard. Governor, as always, we really appreciate your time. Thanks so much for visiting with us. Great to talk to you again, sir.
Great to talk to you, Greg.
Take care.
Stay warm.
You too, sir. So long. South Dakota Governor Dennis Dugard.